Yo, what's up, everybody? We are previewing UFC Vegas 54. Nate Diaz takes a piss on the UFC. It's Ringside Report MMA Live, and we're live. So let's go.
Let's go!
I gotta... What the hell?
Whoa, what is that, Pac-Man?
Where are you guys? Oh, there you go. I gotta stop saying let's go before the show. You know, I always go, blah, 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 let's go. And then the guy says, let's go. I got to say something else at the end. I got to say, like, and what do you think, guy? Let's go. You know? I don't know.
Oh, you want, like, a freeze or something like that.
I'm saying I got to change the way I start the show is how I feel.
Dave,
all right?
I've been watching Martin, the old Martin Lawrence series.
Yeah.
And he always starts his radio show with a, what's up? So try it.
I'm not going to do Martin. I couldn't do
what's
it.
What's up? You got to do it like that, man, with some heart. Yeah, I like it. What's up?
My grandparents learned English watching Martin. That was an Action Bronson line from last night because I saw Action Bronson last night, boys. Tremendous.
That was last night, man.
Tremendous.
How did it go?
Oh, so
anybody
good.
Get like stampede or like, you know?
Nah,
you know,
it was really not that type of show. It wasn't like the Travis Scott show. Nobody dead. It was pretty safe. Not like the Travis Scott show, although, yeah, it was great. Action Bronson. We're here to talk about UFC Vegas 54. Action Bronson drops a lot of UFC, MMA references, pro wrestling references, 90s baseball references. Pretty tremendous. Yeah, fantastic. Thank you, Doug Hepburn, renewing your membership. Shout out to all the members, by the way. All the members here checking us out. Join.ringsidereport.net. Support the channel. It's $5 a month, and you can be part of the show. All you got to do is call in anytime we go live. You can come and join us live, talk to us, ask your questions. All you got to do is become a member, just like our buddy Jason Pete, Digital Art Coding.
Jason!
As Mexico. Well. Shout out, Jason. Shout
Canelo.
Out to everybody
for Canelo.
Tuning in here live tonight on Twitch, on Facebook, on YouTube, and I believe on Twitter as well tonight.
DJ Bourne, too, man. Did you mention him? DJ, spin those records.
Shout out to DJ Bourne. Shout out to Brooklyn.
Hey, listen,
Lizard.
Man, I was going to say, $5 is nothing, man. It's cheaper than a latte. You know what a latte costs now? I went to get one today. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
How much did your latte cost today, AJ?
Almost like $7, man.
Oh, really? You get a grande? Sounds like a large.
Yeah.
You got a big one.
It was
one.
A medium, man. I didn't say grande. I just said, give me a medium latte. And nothing fancy. $7.
Westmount.
Plus, you got to give a tip, right?
Westmount prices.
Man, latte is fancy, man. Period.
I like a latte. Who doesn't like a latte? Yeah. Fred, you stop drinking coffee. You don't drink coffee ever anymore?
Nope. Zero. Green tea.
Fred, wow.
Actually, recently, man, I've converted. I still drink green tea, but the peppermint tea is, like, delicious. Peppermint tea is simply great, man. It's a little more expensive, though, but it's worth it.
What do you do for caffeine to wake you up? No caffeine? Is there any caffeine?
Well, green tea. Green tea has caffeine.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Not that much. It's a different type of caffeine. There is caffeine, but it's not the same caffeine like the coffee thing in caffeine. I was looking at that whole study. It's not the same. Not the same. But
I'm just looking for the warmth, you know, to help me with that first joint of the day.
Get a blanket, man.
If I'm honest.
Get a blanket.
Listen, man.
It's not the same thing.
Listen, when Freddie starts drinking peppermint tea and lemon tea and mint tea and all the rest of those teas, he's becoming very, very liberal. Freddie used to be hardcore, man. You know, coffee, beer, and guns, and NASCAR. Now, it's changed. Look at
peppermint.
That.
I don't think Fred has guns. I mean, he likes NASCAR and stuff.
Well, I can see Freddie having guns. Don't kid yourself.
I don't think Fred has guns. Other than those arms he's got attached to his shoulders, brother.
Freddy comes from the country, man, up there. Let me tell you, they've got guns. Trust me. Go on their lawn at night, man. In the middle is his father-in-law. I'm sure he'll gun you down, man. I can almost guarantee that. Am I right, Freddy?
You want to defend your family here a little bit? What's going on? or
Well,
confirm.
because I know he's referencing that picture that I sent him. But hunting is legal here, man. So, like, stop saying stupidness.
What picture you sent him? I didn't get a picture.
What's yeah, picture? Man, at Christmas. You know, I said, like, I'm sleeping in redneck heaven or something like that, I said. And there was, like, the big casing of guns behind me.
Oh, man.
No fooling around, man, with a MAGA cap and all.
There was no
We're calling
MAGA
him King
cap.
MAGA now. I'm kidding, man.
What?
Dave doesn't get it.
And I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Jan Blachowicz is fighting Alexander Rakic on Saturday. Blachowicz is 39 years old. Rakic is 30. Does that matter right now at light heavyweight? Does that matter for Blachowicz? The champion right yeah. now is older than Jan, right? The champion that beat Jan, Glover Teixeira, is 42 years old.
Who did Jan beat to get the title? Reyes, was it?
Yeah, when Jones vacated it.
Yeah.
He beat Dominic yeah. Reyes, and then he beat Israel Adesanya. But he had beat, like, Corey
well, he
Anderson.
Beat Corey Anderson. He lost to Glover Teixeira on his last fight. But, yeah, you know, he
the resume isn't
He's
that
had a
great.
Pretty good run.
Yeah, no, he had a bad run. Come on. It's not that bad, but, like, if you compare it to other championship resumes in the UFC, like champions, former champions, like, he had some defeats early on in his career, you know? And even the championship run, like, he lost to Thiago Santos, came back, beat Luke Rockhold, but, like, Luke Rockhold in 2019, so, I mean, AJ, I know you're the world's biggest Luke Rockhold fan, but... I mean, you gotta
Easy,
be honest.
Easy.
You gotta be honest about be nice. Where he's at in his career, man. That's the last he fought.
He's doing Aqua Velva commercials.
Since he lost to Michael Bisping, everything kind of went to pieces for Luke Rockhold. He came back the next year, beat David Branch. Came back the year after that, lost to Yoel Romero, got knocked out. Came back the next year, got knocked out by Jan Blachowicz. He's only 37, but we haven't seen him since. So. Let's not pretend that Luke Rockhold in 2019 was the elite level Luke Rockhold. He then got a split decision win over Jacare. He knocked out Corey Anderson, which is impressive because Corey Anderson's still doing big things. Then he knocked out Dominic Reyes, which I don't know how impressive that is at this point because
it's
Reyes,
impressive, man. Because he
I don't know Reyes
Jones,
was on he that was the middle of a 3-fight losing streak for Dominic Reyes. So what does that really mean for Jan Blachowicz?
But
you know, to
I
be
think...
the middle guy, and then he beat Israel Adesanya, which is impressive, but at light heavyweight where he was like 40 pounds heavier. I'm just saying,
True.
Jan, I have mad respect for him. He's a badass, but he doesn't have the most impressive record.
Well.
Compared to other, like a John Jones or a Kamaru Usman or some of the other greats that we've seen in the UFC, world champions.
Of course, but I'll say one thing I think he's missing is that he hasn't defeated any of these new young guns. So, you know, like whether it's Rakic, Ankalaev, Jiří, you know, like we're looking at him and we're like, oh, yeah, and he's a little bit old. Yeah, he has some nice wins, but can he fight with these young guns? And that's where my question is. Like, I want to see how he does against one of these young guns, which I think Rakic is. Rakic is definitely like a future contender in the division. Will it, how far will he get? I don't know. But he's one of those promising prospects. So this is a big fight. I'm going to go with the young guy, Rakic. I'm not sure actually how old he is, but Rakic is going to win this one. I think he's going to finish also our friend, Jan.
He's 30.
He's only 30, you know, which is pretty young considering he's been in the UFC for several years now. Like 5 years he's been in the UFC.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I agree with Freddie. He's like the up-and-comer. He's the guy that's supposed to be at the top of the throne. You know, the guy's 14-2. The thing that he's super young, but when you look at the size and strength and like he's just – this is his moment. I think, John, you know what? Ever since he got that – we used to make fun – of his magic rope, but ever since he got that magic rope, he started winning. But when he lost to Glover, the rope, the magic is gone. That is for sure. I think that's the end of the rope. I think Rakic is going to probably knock him out. And you know what's interesting is that the guy he's got, like, prior to the UFC, he had, like, 9 KOs, TKOs. He's coming into UFC, he only has, like, 2. So it's like, you expect him to knock someone out, but in the UFC, he hasn't had that many, just two. But I think he has what it takes to knock out Yan. I think Yan's jaw is questionable. You know, the fight with Israel was to a decision. But to be honest, man, Israel did pretty well for a guy that was like 40 pounds under. And Jan just basically pancaked him through the whole fight. And yeah, that's how he won, in my opinion.
Yeah,
it was a decision. I thought it was like it could have been a split. But anyways, you know what? Rakic is the guy. It's going to be hard to lose to Yan now, or Jan, whatever you want to call him, the magic rope guy.
You call him Yan because that's his name. Yeah, I think that just the young guns in this division. Rakic is a little bit taller. He might be roughly the same weight as Yan. Yan does come in pretty heavy for these fights, but I think the size and the strength might play in Rakic's favor. I just see Rakic all over this fight. 9 years age gap, I think it makes a big difference, even at light heavyweight. I know the heavier weight classes you can survive in your late 30s and early 40s still, but I think Rakic is just one of these new stars coming in at 205 pounds, and I think he's going to beat Yan Blachowicz. I'm just not sure how it's going to go down. Like, does Rakic manage to finish him? Does it go to a decision? I'm leaning towards a five-rounder. I think that this one probably goes all five. Rakic right now, minus 200, the favorite. Yan Blachowicz, plus 160, the underdog, over 3.5 rounds, minus 132. It's favored to go over 3.5 rounds. But the prop of will the fight go the distance, yes, plus 110, no, minus 160. I think there's good value on the yes there. I think that Rakic by decision is going to be where I'm going, and I think the fight going the distance, plus 110, makes sense to throw a couple bucks there. But overall, I'm going to go with Rakic, and you'll probably wind up being in my parlay as well for this card.
You're right, Dave, because Rakic.
I like him. He's really impressed me.
He's really a point fighter, and I agree with you on that. So I can see where you're going at. I like to see him get a KO or a TKO, whatever it is, but he only has two of them in the UFC. And you know Yan is resistant. He's resilient, I should say. And the thing with Rakic, he's a point fighter. He can throw good jabs. He can throw good kicks, but he's looking to win the round. And you know what? Thinking about it, and from what you said, I probably agree with you, man. I probably could see this going the distance.
Yeah, I think plus 110 over at bet99.com. Don't forget to bet with us using that promo code ringside at bet99.com. I like Rakic in a major way. I like him to go the distance, plus 110. You look at Yan Blachowicz, only finished once by knockout in his career, and that was to the very powerful Thiago Santos. I don't think Rakic has that kind of power. Not like Thiago Santos, but I think, like you said, AJ, the points will add up, and he'll probably wind up getting a unanimous decision on Saturday night over Yan Blachowicz at the UFC Apex. Big fight. Big fight at light heavyweight. Big fight for Alexander Rakic, right? He wins this fight. He beats a former champion, the first former champion that he's faced, and he's on his way. He wins this fight. He's on his way. I'd like to know from you guys, I think we're all leaning towards Rakic before we move on to the rest of the card. Where do you rank Rakic among the three young guns at light heavyweight? And I'm talking about Rakic, Prohaska, and Ankalaev. I think those three guys are the three kind of on the come up guys that will be fighting for the championship, but I'm not sure who's going to be the champion. I think, you know, Prohaska is next. He's getting the shot against Glover Teixeira, which is pretty cool. I think he might take it, but I'm not sure because he gets hit a lot. I think Prohaska is maybe first to the finish line of getting the title shot, but I think that if I were to rank them, I would go Ankalaev, Rakic, Prohaska. That's where I would put them. Even though Prohaska's flashy and he's got a lot of power, I think that Rakic and Ankalaev maybe have the edge on him, but it's close, you know? Like, those three guys are interchangeable, and I think that at some point they will fight each other in some sort of combination, right? Like, Rakic will fight Ankalaev or Prohaska, or Ankalaev will fight Prohaska, or all three fights will happen. Because those three guys, I think, are the future of the division right now. What do you rank them, AJ?
Right, Dave, man. They're all three superstars. I probably go with Jiří as second, over Rakic, in my opinion. But yeah, Ankalaev, man, this guy is right there. He won't get the shot next, but I think he will be the future champion.
They're ranked. Freddy,
okay.
They're ranked two, three, four in the UFC's rankings. Yuri, Rakic, Ankalaev. All right, Fred, correct us.
It's Yuri, and then you're forgetting about the guy that actually beat Ankalaev, Paul Craig. And then wow. It's Rakic, yeah, and then it's Ankalaev.
Oh. Paul Craig. You're putting Paul Craig
in there? I don't know. Craig is there.
I don't know. I don't think he's there.
Yeah, Freddie, you know what? I don't know.
Look, I want
if
him
he goes
to be
down
there.
To the ground, he's a fun I agree fighter with you. Man.
I put him in there.
He is.
I don't know about that.
I don't
that.
Know against Ankalaev or Rakic or
I think in a rematch. I think in a rematch it would be tough for Paul Craig. But he's on a win streak and he's
we know
interesting.
Against Ankalaev.
What?
We know. AJ says we don't know he doesn't know against Ankalaev, and I say we know against Ankalaev.
I mean
at this
Paul
point of the
Craig,
game, that's what I'm saying.
Paul Craig wrapped up a triangle choke on Ankalaev with 1 second left in the final round of their three-round fight.
Exactly. It's such a hard loss, that one. And that's hard pill to swallow.
If he doesn't tap, he wins the decision, Ankalaev. So,
and he won.
Yes.
He won. Like, there was no doubt about the rounds.
Yeah,
he was winning.
He won.
One, two, three. He was winning them straight
but
out.
But he got caught
one
in
second.
And I think if they rematch, Ankalaev would probably win.
Matt Hughes beat GSP with, 1 second left to a round, man. It happens, man.
True.
He tapped, man. He lost.
No, I agree, man. You're right.
The
look what
go.
Happened on the second. Yeah, that's it. The rematch was like the real deal there.
We'll
listen,
see.
Everybody could mess up, man. You know, everybody could mess up. And you know what? Greg is one of the best jiu-jitsu fighters I saw like in the game. But, man, once he gets you on the ground, it's like danger. People don't realize how dangerous it is.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy kept fighting. And 1 second to go, man, 1 second, it was over. And that's the thing, man.
That's
the submission game is so dangerous.
That's why I don't really care about some of these older guys. Like, sorry, Anthony Smith, Thiago Santos, Dominic Reyes. Like, you guys are all good fighters. But, like, I've seen, you know, like, yeah, I still want you guys to fight in the UFC. And maybe you could earn your way back to a title shot. But right now, I want to see these young guns get their shot, man. That's who I want to see.
And they are, Freddie. They are. These guys are all superstars, including your Paul Craig. I agree with that. They're all superstars. Not to take away from Dominic Reyes and Santos and all these guys, but these guys are going to be the gatekeepers for the next round of young fighters that are coming up. It's a crazy division. There's going to be fireworks. It's going to be exciting, man.
Yet, the champion of the division is Glover Teixeira. He's 42 years old. And I don't think any of us would rule him out of being able to defend his title in his next fight against Jiří Procházka. I think it's very possible that he beats him. I got Jiří, but I don't know. I'd have to take a look at it a little bit more because Glover is very tough. You know, Glover has a hell of a chin on him. And I think if he could take the punch, which I think he probably can, Yuri's going to be in trouble because Glover will hit you hard. Jiří will take some shots. And if Glover, you know, similar to Paul Craig, if Glover takes you down, if Glover gets on your back, it's over. And Glover's very good at taking you down and just slicing through whatever guard you try to put up. Look what he did to Jan Blachowicz. Took him down and just sliced through him like butter, got to his back, wrapped the choke, and Jan couldn't wait to tap. You know, like, Glover is a different type of animal. Glover, his jiu-jitsu, his striking, he hasn't lost since 2018. He's on a 6-fight winning streak. If he wasn't 42 years old, I think most of us would be picking him to win. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he wasn't kind of old and been around forever, we'd be like, yeah, Glover's going to beat this Jiří guy. I don't know about this Jiří guy. You see what Glover did to Jan and Thiago Santos and all these guys? But Jiří is the new breed, and he is very violent, and, you know, maybe he puts Glover out, but Glover's been knocked out before. It's possible. It's possible, but I'm not sure.
Let's be honest. Jan did not have a great fight. He looked terrible in that loss. He looked like he was just not in shape. You know, he's coming back saying, you know, you're gonna see. I'm gonna rebound from that loss, and I'm like really focused on this fight and whatnot. But the thing is that you were the champion, and you didn't like. It looked like he didn't train to defend that belt. Yeah, man. You know what?
Let me put it this way. Let me put it this way. If John Jones were fighting Glover, I'd pick John Jones for sure. If John Jones is fighting Ankalaev, Jiří, all those guys, I'm like, oh, this is a little more interesting. I'm probably still picking John Jones, but I don't know, man. I'm just into this new generation of light heavyweights. I think they're all fun to watch. They bring in more energy, more action. And yeah, maybe Glover pulls it off, man. Veteran has a lot of tricks in his bags. He could definitely put Jiří on his back and make the rounds long for Jiří. Like if Jiří doesn't get off his back, it could be a long fight for him. But I'm still gonna go with my buddy Rakic to win. And I think you guys are probably right. Decision makes sense for him to win this weekend.
Alexander Rakic is our pick. We are unanimous going with Rakic by decision. He is the favorite to win this weekend at bet99.com, minus 200. But the fight going the distance is a plus 110 slight. Rakic by decision is plus 185. That's not bad either. Put some money on that. Yep. Rakic by decision, plus 185. You know what I'm saying? That's how you make some money with Rakic. I gave you Carla Esparza by decision last weekend, and that came through. That was pretty good. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Come on.
That was a good bet, but it was an awful fight.
But I was still right in the sense that, you know, Carla presented these problems for Rose that Rose couldn't find a way to deal with. Like, Carla didn't do that much to Rose, but Rose couldn't really figure out that much to do to Carla. And, Carla is a weird puzzle to solve.
She did, Dave.
She's a weird puzzle to solve for Rose Namajunas, and that's just what happened. The fight played out the way it did, but I don't think Rose is going to get an immediate rematch because Dana White didn't seem very interested in making it because the fight was so bad. I don't think he wants to see that fight again. So I think Carla is going to move on and probably fight the winner of Joanna and Zhang Weili. Joanna and Zhang Weili are going to be fighting again, and the winner of that, at least according to Dana White, who is the president and does make most of the decisions, he says that's going to be the fight.
That division might have a lot of title changes still going on because if Joanna wins, Joanna's a bad matchup for Carla. Joanna's going to strike more. Joanna's not just going to dance around Carla. She's gonna be hitting her, and she's going to capitalize, which is something Rose didn't do. Like, Rose danced all night. She barely got in any danger. I'll give her that. But she never put Carla in any danger. Whereas Joanna, if she gets her shot against Carla, styles make matchups. I think Joanna gets it done. But right now, props to Carla, man. She boring fight, well, awful
props.
Fight. Like, yeah.
There's no props.
Awful
really,
fight.
But to
she,
be honest,
yeah, exactly.
You know, there's
maybe
no
it was
props
an awful fight.
Why not?
Listen, man.
Why not?
Was a
she faced Rose Namajunas for 25 minutes, walked out without a scratch, so she could have
her
wedding and
fight.
The world championship. Why not? She won the rounds. She
won. She
didn't
win the rounds.
She
no,
won
and you
the
know,
fight.
You know, no,
she
no,
won
she
the
wants
fight.
Ridley Scott.
At best, it was a draw. At best, it was a draw.
Yeah.
At best. At best,
well,
you can call
really,
the first three
really.
Rounds. At best, if you want, give me the first three rounds as a total draw. Give me round
I agree
four
with
for
that.
Carla, four for Carla, five for Rose. Fine. If you want to say that, fine. You say it's a draw. Don't
yes.
tell me Rose Namajunas won that fight. I think you can make a better argument for Carla Esparza winning that fight than Rose Namajunas.
No. Hold on a sec. It's like, you know, you agreeing that the Astros
there was
won
no action,
fairly.
Man.
No way, man. Listen, there was no action. And to be honest, man, like, honestly
Octagon control, when there's no action, you look to Octagon control.
Listen,
and Carla Esparza was controlling the Octagon.
I look for my
listen.
Z's.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying the scoring criteria, guys, down to the letter of the law in MMA, it's octagon control when there's nothing else really happening, and Carla's controlling the octagon.
Well, she was controlling, but when you look at the strike count, like, Rose had it above Carla. And if you're looking at the fifth round, most of the takedowns in between were, like, down, up. So that's a draw right there. Coming into the fifth, when Rose took her down and kept her down and threw punches, I thought that was enough for Rose to squeak out the win. Not a great win.
One round,
but a win.
Can't win a fight. You can't win a fight off one round.
Listen,
you can win
no,
the round,
and I agree,
it's not
listen,
the fight. Unless you finish
but,
the fight.
But Rose, I agree. But to beat the champion, it has to be a clear-cut win. And that was not clear-cut.
No, it doesn't.
That's a fact.
No, it
and
doesn't.
You know,
it doesn't have to be a clear-cut
well,
win to be a champion. You have to convince the judges.
It does.
Convince the judges.
Listen, man, those judges were off the card the whole, like, 274. We know that for a fact. But the thing is,
I think
this,
you're just
I'm not
mad.
Sure why.
AJ's just mad exactly. because me and Fred took Carla, and he didn't.
Man, but, if I, but, yeah, because if I had Rose, I would have came out on top, man.
Yeah, your parlay
yes,
won, and so did mine.
Fred,
both
you
of
won,
our,
man.
Both
yeah,
of our parlays won.
I forget
AJ
the brag. But, man, I don't understand either side that's really fighting on this decision, man. It was an awful fight. It could have gone either way, man. None of the two deserved the win, like, honestly. Like, you can make an argument that, hey, somebody had to win. You know, you got to pick somebody, and Carla won. Honestly, it was that type of fight. It was – I saw a poster going, the worst UFC card ever would be, like, Israel Adesanya, Yoel Romero, Carla Esparza, and Rose – and Derek Lewis and Ngannou. That's like the ultimate all-time awful card.
Yeah. Damian Maia and Anderson Silva, throw that in there again.
Also, yeah.
You know how bad that fight was? It was like so bad that when you got guys like Rogan, Cormier, and John Anik, who worked for the UFC, who got to make it as flowery as possible, when they start saying that this is one of the worst fights that they've seen, and Rogan called it the stinker of all stinkers, the dud of all duds, you know you got a problem. At least one thing with the UFC, the commentators and the people working for the UFC, they're honest, man. It was a stinker of a fight. It shouldn't have been a co-main event, and it'll never be a main event or a co-main event ever. But the thing is that Rose blew it. Rose, when she comes in the first round, she comes out with fireworks. She did not deliver, man. It was just a sucky fight. Yeah, I lost on my parlay because of that, but I...
Yeah, you're mad about that.
You know,
mostly you're mad about that. What? I'm happy about that. Patrick C. Hamilton, who's been a member for 18 straight months, a year and a half. Thank you, Patrick, for supporting
Thank
the
you,
Ringside Report Network.
Thank you.
He says, I won. And he did because he
yeah,
bet
man.
With Dave.
Okay, we're happy, man.
Team
as long as somebody
Dave.
Wins in the Ringside Report universe.
Yeah. What happened to AJ? Did he just freeze out? Fred, are you still there? Did you freeze out?
What's
AJ,
going
you still
on?
With me? Oh, Fred just froze Hello. Out, too. Oh, maybe it's me.
It went robotic.
Hello.
You
oh.
guys went
what
like...
What happened?
Oh, you guys still with me?
I'm not sure. It's still in.
What's going on, man?
I don't know. I think we're still on, but maybe we're having trouble.
We're there. You
maybe
see,
we're
we
having...
start talking trash about Rose.
I think we're having technical
We're having
Rose
trouble.
What is going on?
Oh, man. That's what happens when you diss Rose, dude.
All right, well,
I hear you
good now. Can you hear
no,
me?
We're good. We're good.
We're
I think
good,
we had
good.
Like a slight
Listen, happens,
technical
man.
Glitch. I don't know what happened there. But
FBI listening.
I know why.
Yeah.
You know why? Hey, I'll tell you why. Because
Patrick
we were talking
won.
MAGA.
Patrick Super won. Super I won. And everybody that bet with Team Dave won because we took Carla Esparza. So it really doesn't matter in the end. My parlay won. Fred's parlay won. All the parlays coming through. Except AJ's, of course. But AJ's been doing
well.
Really
mine,
well,
I only lost
us.
One. Listen, I lost one
yeah, yeah,
out
yeah.
of five.
And you've been
like,
doing well
really
lately,
good.
AJ. You've been doing
yeah,
great. You're all right. Angelo dropping a super chat. What's up, guys? What's up, Angelo? Thank you
Angelo!
For supporting the Ringside Report Network, my friend. Yeah, so let's give you some parlays for this weekend. Let's give you some more winners. Let's keep it going. Like I said, I like Rakic by decision plus 185. I think you throw a solo bet on that one. Rakic by decision plus 185 makes sense to me. What about the rest of this card? We got Ryan Spann taking on Ion Cutelaba. Cutelaba is a favorite, minus 234, Spann plus 185. That makes sense to me. I think that Cutelaba probably takes it. Although Spann's got some good power. Could hurt Cutelaba and put him down. He's a dangerous guy, that Ryan Spann, but I think Cutelaba overall a little bit better. But Spann a little bit more powerful. I don't know. It's a tough fight, but I would,
it's a tough
lean,
one, man.
I would lean towards... Ryan Spann. You look at the guys Cutelaba has beat, Khalil Roundtree, a couple other guys. He's only losing to some really tough guys in the UFC. coming off a win. I'd go with Kutalaba, but yeah, it's a closer fight than the odds are giving it. Like, Kutalaba -234, he's a bit of a heavy favorite there. I'm not sure. I wouldn't put him on my parlay.
It's a tough one, Dave, this one, you know, but man, when you look at Spann, like, his chin is questionable. Like, Johnny Walker dropped him, even though he won that fight. Don't forget, he got dropped. And then you look at Kutalaba, he was rocked by Anthony Smith, who's not known for, like, great knockout power, in a sense. So, it's a tough one, man. It's a tough one, but I probably agree with you. If you're going to look at, like, he's won by decision over Devin Clark. He's won by draw by Dustin Jacoby. Then he lost Ankalaev twice in the last four fights. Where Spann has lost to Anthony Smith by submission. You remember that one? Then he KO'd Misha Cirkunov. He TKO'd Johnny. And then he won by split decision with Sam Alvey. Man, this is a tough one. This could go either or, really.
Yeah,
this is
tough.
An either or. But if you had to put something down, I would probably... Man, you know what? I want to go with Kutalaba, man, but I'm just looking at, like, the who gave better TKOs, and it's, like, Spann in the last four fights. So I'm probably going to go with Ryan Spann because that guy comes out sometimes and he impresses.
Yeah. I don't know. Fred, what do you think about this fight?
I don't really care about it that much, but I'm going to go with Kutalaba.
Yeah.
You're going with Kutalaba? You guys, okay. So, Freddy.
I think Kutalaba comes through here. A couple other fights.
I'm going to go with Ryan Spann, boys.
On this card, you got Michael Johnson taking on Alan Patrick, which is an interesting prelim fight. Michael Johnson's been around forever. I feel like we haven't seen him.
Yeah, he's been there forever.
We haven't seen him in a bit.
I thought he wasn't in the game anymore, to be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, MJ.
He lost to Clay Guida in his last fight in 2021. He has lost four in
really?
A row.
Yeah, I don't even remember that one.
It's not look good for Michael Johnson. He's lost a lot of fights. Like, he was one of the top 155ers in the world for a while, and I feel like he's not that old. I don't know what happened. He's 35. It's kind of strange. You know, some guys just, like, they have a peak in their career when they're younger, and then they hit their early 30s and their mid-30s, usually when guys peak, and they're kind of at the end. You know, like, some guys peak at like 32, 33, and some guys peak at like 28. I feel like Michael Johnson peaked at 28 in his UFC career. You know, it's weird. I don't know what happened there. Like, he beat Tony Ferguson in 2012. Right? 10 years ago, when he's 25 years old, he beats Tony Ferguson.
I mean, he had a good run in the UFC, but like you say, he plateaued. Like, at some point, man, he reached his potential, and good for him to still be fighting in the UFC. I don't expect him to become a contender ever again. But at some point, he was considered like a legit guy at top of that division. So I think I'm going to pick Alan Patrick for the win.
Yeah. It's funny because I'm going to pick Alan Patrick for the win too. Michael Johnson is favored, -150. Patrick +122, the underdog. I think there's a lot of value there in Patrick because I just don't see Johnson as a guy who's fighting at any kind of level anymore. And at least Patrick's last fight, I mean, it was a eye poke, but the fight before that, he fought Bobby Green, who's still one of the top guys going. He's a tough guy. Lost to him, but went to a decision. Yeah, I'm going to go with Alan Patrick as well in that fight. AJ, you got thoughts on the Michael Johnson fight? What do you think of him being a favorite?
Listen, I wouldn't even touch that fight, man. Being that it's in the prelims, you know, I haven't been that hot in prelim picks where you have. Man, yeah, I mean, if I'm looking at, like, stats and everything, I would have to go with Alan Patrick, but I will not put this on my parlay, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, I want to know what you will put on your parlay, so tell me. Right now, what's on your parlay for UFC Vegas 54, Blachowicz versus Rakic? Fred, you want to jump in? AJ was
No, because actually, make AJ do it because I'm going to say something, but I don't want to help AJ. So,
oh, don't help AJ.
All right, bud. So
what do you got?
I'm going to start with the five fight parlay again. I'm going with five. I'm going to start with Rakic for the win.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Ryan Spann over Kutaliba, even though he's the favorite. I'm telling you, Ryan Spann has better TKOs in the last four fights, so I think it's going to be another one.
Okay.
This one is a tough one between Davy Grant and Lewis Smolka, but I'm going to go with Lewis Smolka on this one.
Plus 240, Lewis Smolka. Okay, picking a lot of underdogs here, AJ. What else you got?
Then, from there, I'm going to go with a pretty sure win with Shokagian.
That's right. Slam dunk, lock of the night for
then
Team
I'm
Dave.
Gonna I'm gonna start the night with Jake Haley. He's 8-0, and I'm pretty sure he's gonna make it 9-0 before the before my wins all come in.
Jake Hadley -225, the favorite
the
over
White
Alan,
Kong.
Alan Nascimento. Okay, is that a five fight?
That's
parlay?
It, man.
All right,
I believe
like
so.
It. So there's the Team AJ. Five fight parlay. Oh my goodness, AJ. The
let
value
me,
on
let me
this.
Bless it.
The value on this is big. So -200 Alexander Rakic, +185 Ryan Spann, +240 Lewis Smolka, -184 Caitlin Chookagian, -225 Jake Hadley. $20 gets you $650.61 from bet99.com. Wow,
that
AJ.
That could come in, bud.
Well, you should bet it because that is a plus 3150 parlay. Five fights: Hadley, Chookagian, Smolka, Spann, and Rakic. Okay. Now, Freddie, that sound means you're on the clock.
Yeah, well, I was going to I was going to say I wanted your analysis for these female fights. You're like the expert. I always like to put one of those female fights, but I like to listen to Dave. So you go, man. Sell me one of these female fights.
Caitlin Chookagian. Caitlin Chookagian all day, every day. She is a beast.
She's a bigger fighter, man.
She is very big for the weight class of 125, very tall. Her striking is excellent. I don't think Amanda Ribas will be able to deal with her at all. Chookagian is one of the best in the division. She's only lost to the very top of the weight class, and she beats everybody else. I think she's a gatekeeper to the top three of the division, to top two maybe. I think she'll fight for a title again, and this might be the way to do it. Amanda Ribas, 5'4". Caitlin Chookagian, 5'9". Ribas is a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, black belt in Judo, but Caitlin Chookagian is an excellent wrestler with great takedown defense, who's trained with the Hensel Gracie Jiu-Jitsu team in New York. She is as legit as they come, and I know she is a favorite, -184, but like I said when AJ was breaking it down with his parlay, Chookagian is the Team Dave lock of the night. I always go with Caitlin Chookagian. She's one of my favorite fighters to watch in the UFC. And that's the pick. That's the ladies' pick, Fred. I know I'm very good with women's MMA picks.
But
I picked
you see,
the last
AJ gave
two
me that
title
pick.
Fight. I know AJ gave it to you. I don't have a well. I'll give you Verna Jandaroba as well over Angela Hill. I don't think Angela Hill is ready for Verna Jandaroba. Verna is a she's a monster. She's just a beast. She's very, very tough. She did lose
that's
to
a good
Amanda Ribas in the last fight, but I think she'll be right in Angela Hill's face, and she'll win a decision. I'm going to go with Jandaroba over Hill. Hill's lost quite a few fights in the past few years, four of her last five, only beating Ashley Yoder. I think
Super
Verna Jandaroba, who's very tough, beats Angela Hill, too. I think that's a good one.
I agree. I think so, too.
So I got Verna, Caitlin, Caitlin, Allen, and Rakic. That's my
Verna, Caitlin.
And on top of it, Freddie, Ribas, man, she doesn't have the power to, like, break down, like, Shokagian's body, man. That's the thing. She won't be able to break her down. She won't be able to knock her out, that's for sure. You know, she might be able to get a couple of maybe, like, throws, but Shokagian is too strong of a fighter, even to stay on the ground with her.
Fred, what
she'll
was
get
your
right back up and continue.
Verna, Chookagian, Rakic, and who?
Alan Patrick.
Oh, Alan Patrick. There you go. That's a good bet, too. I like that. That's a good parlay from Team Fred. That might be Team Dave's parlay, too. I don't know. Now that I'm looking at it, I think I just gave you my picks, Fred. Verna Jandaroba, Kayla Chukagian, Alexander Rakic, and Alan Patrick, plus 122. $20 gets you 159.24, plus 696 odds on that parlay. And I think, you know what? For the first time ever, the Team Dave and Team Fred parlay will be virtually identical. And by virtually, I mean completely identical.
Did you go with...
This is my parlay.
That's why I cut you off before you said yours. I wanted to put mine out first.
You stole my women's picks on my parlay, but yeah, I'm going with the same picks for as Team Fred.
Yeah, Dave, throw in another one, man. Try to go different, man. You have to, Brad. You have to.
But these
you
are
gotta
my
make
picks.
It exciting.
But these are my
I know,
picks.
Come on, Dave. We're a plus one, Dave. Come
Andrea
on, Dave.
Lee.
Okay, hold
Vivian
on.
Vivian Arujo.
I don't know
Andrea
about
Lee.
That. That
Vivian
fight's
Arujo.
Tough. I gotta see
go
them
to
on
Jake Hindley.
I gotta see them on weigh-in day. I got to see them on weigh-in day to see what they look like.
Dave, do it. Just do it, man.
Just do what?
Polish that crystal ball, man.
But don't you think that if me and Fred pick the same parlay, it's like more – like it means more?
Bet it twice.
You know?
Go with Nick Maximov, man.
If Fred and I have the same parlay, don't you think it means something? No, you know what? That Maximov fight – honestly?
Yeah, he's a Diaz guy, man.
Yep.
He trains at the Diaz Academy, man. This guy's
guess
a killer.
What? Guess what? Going with Petrosky.
What?
Going with Petrosky.
Are you serious?
Yep. Dead serious. Dead serious. Going with Petrosky.
Man. This guy is a Diaz Academy star, man. This guy, Nick Maximov, he's like... He's the shining star for the Diaz brothers.
That's fine.
And that whole academy.
You know what the Diaz brothers' Achilles heel has always been?
What?
Wrestling. You know what Petrosky does? He's a wrestler. He'll win two out of the three rounds, gas out in the third, and survive. If he survives and doesn't get knocked out in the third, he'll win this fight. Plus 300, Andre Petrosky. Fuck it.
Let's can I just throw in some stats
fuck
before
it.
You do that?
No, kiss my ass. I'm throwing it on my parlay. You wanted me
damn
to add
it.
Something to the parlay? I'm adding something to the goddamn parlay, AJ. Jandaroba, Chukagian, Rakic, Patrick, and Petrosky. So now the parlay is worth a ton more money. $20 gets you $636.97. It's
damn.
The biggest parlay payoff of the night, and we're going to come through. Team Dave is getting rich on Saturday night. Rich. $600
I don't know about that, dude, man. I don't like
feel
that
like
bet,
a millionaire.
Man.
What? Look
I don't
that.
Like that bet, man.
Yeah, well, suck it. You want it? You pressured me into it. It's peer pressure. It's your fault if Team Dave loses. And Team Fred will win, and Team Dave will lose, and it'll be your fault, AJ. If Team Fred wins, I'm claiming victory. Because my official parlay, just so we're clear, is Jandaroba, Chukagian, Rakic, and Patrick. But I will be putting a couple of bucks on Petrosky because I think he's got a good chance of winning at plus 300. He also called out. He wanted this fight. This is the fight that he wanted. Petrosky was looking for this fight because he wanted to end the hype train and get some of that hype on himself.
Petrosky. Man, I don't know, Dave.
I know you don't.
Here
know.
I am. I thought I was.
You
like
were saying the
to
same thing
Maximov.
To me last week when I was talking to you about Carl Esparza. You were saying the same stuff to me. All right. Patrick C. Hamilton dropping his 777 super chat. Thank you, Patrick. He says, I'm going to go put some money on Chukagian if you say so. We're all saying so. We all have Chukagian winning on Saturday, and I think we all have her in our parlay, right?
Yeah, and it's not going to be a fight like – it's not going to be a Rose Carla type of fight. There's going to be fireworks, and yeah, she's going to win it.
Yeah. I got Chukagian. She's our lock. Well, she's my lock of the night. We're all picking Chukagian. Fred just disappeared. Fred, you fall over?
Sorry. Oh.
Fred fell over for a second there. He's all right. I thought he collapsed.
I was trying to stretch my legs from this jiu-jitsu from today, man. My legs are dead tired, and I moved the camera.
It's good jiu-jitsu today, Fred. It was a good time.
Yeah.
Fred has brought me to his gym. He has introduced me to the gym. You know, it's fun, Fred. I introduced you to jiu-jitsu way back in the day, And then you find this gym. You introduce me to the gym. Like, we've really helped each other out in our jiu-jitsu tournament.
Full circle, man.
Yeah,
full
it's
circle,
really nice.
Guys.
It's really nice.
It's jiu-jitsu, man. It's just like the rule, man. It all connects in the end.
All right. I don't know what that means. The rule all connects in the end? At the end, don't you disconnect because you're, like, tired and you want to get off the guy because the round's
no,
over?
No.
You stay hugging the guy when the bell rings? Dun, dun, dun. You're still holding the guy? Why? Let go.
Dave.
AJ.
Snatched
Bellator.
The pebble from my hand.
I don't know what that means. Bellator 281. No. Bellator 281 is tomorrow night. AJ, I know you love 281. You're ready for Bellator. Lyoto Machida, final fight is likely for tomorrow night. Wasn't that the male strip club? Wasn't that what it was called that AJ used to dance at? 281?
281,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, AJ
it
used
was
to,
like historical.
AJ used to go there all the time. So this is Bellator 281. So I know AJ's really excited about this one. Bringing him back to his good old days back in the 70s when he was a nude dancer there. And now Lyoto Machida will have his
well,
final
actually,
fight at Bellator 281.
Hold
what?
On a sec.
What? Sorry.
Actually, no names mentioned. No, I will not mention any names.
Marco.
But I can tell you this.
It was Marco.
No. Marco used to be a bouncer there at one point. But there was a few guys high ranking in the jiu-jitsu world here in Quebec.
Yeah.
Black belts that were like working at 281.
As
you know, they
male,
needed to make money
dancers?
In the days.
Yeah. Well.
And they're probably listening and they'll be like, AJ, you better not fucking mention my name, man. You better not mention it. But they had no choice. They had to work in like a male strip joint. They had good bodies. You know, they're coming from different parts of the world. They needed to make money, man. So, you know, how do you train with flexible hours? So they were dancers, man. 281. And 281, I know Angelo knows about it because, you know, he's been out on the scene. But that used to be like the busiest male strip joint probably in all of Canada. I was so shocked when it closed. But,
how
man,
you know
there used
so
to be lineups.
You used to talk about
listen,
it on the
man.
Show. And you when it closed, I remember you were like talking about it over and over again. I'm like, why do you know so much about this male strip club? And now I bring it up again and you just go on and on about. But I guess anything you bring up, AJ will go on and on about. Right, Fred? I mean, it's not really... this it's any subject.
To be fair man, like everybody's heard of 281, like
most women have. That's for sure.
I wasn't really that aware of it until AJ started talking about it.
No ask
I'll be
you,
honest
Fred. You'll see
no she's not
knows.
Been
ladies know.
She has not been. I'm sure of that. I know that it's not would not be her thing.
I'm sure Lucy has. I gotta find out.
Yeah, I don't know AJ, I think it's funny, AJ, that you know guys that used to dance. And you know, like, oh, I know all this stuff about the club, and I know some jiu-jitsu guys that used to do it. It's not me. It's just some guys I know. I think that's real suspicious,
know,
AJ.
Dave,
real
Dave,
suspicious.
Dave, that's
all I'm saying.
Dave, you might know a few of them, too.
Yeah. I'm sure I do.
Just to say. Yeah, that's the thing, you know?
I'm
sure,
sure
they're, like, cringing right now.
I'm pretty sure
now. Like,
that's where Glenn is right now. Like, I think he's doing it.
Glenn, yeah. Man, I'm telling you, it's a possibility.
Yeah, that
it's
guy.
It's a possibility, man. They don't call him G-Mac for no reason, man.
That's right.
Listen, who walks around with no shirt and a bow tie at their home for no reason? I'm just saying, man. G-Mac knows. He's got pictures
do?
To prove it.
Is that you?
G Mac.
Okay.
With his like shirtless ladies and bow ties and.
So Nate Diaz did took a picture of himself here. I could show
Nick.
It to you. No, Nate, right?
Was it Nate? Yes, it was Nate.
PP.
Are you sure?
I'm sure Nick does too, man. Yeah, no, it's Nate. It's Nate.
You're
listen,
sure
I'm sure
that
Nick has as well.
Nick Pease? Is that what you're saying? I mean, I'm sure
no,
he urinated.
He's on the UFC wall. I'm pretty sure he has. I have a strong suspicion. And anyways, it just goes to show you, man. Like, Nate can get away with a lot of stuff. I don't think anything's going to happen to him. I think Dana White is going to laugh it off and just play on this. But, like, Nate comes. There you go, man. Look at him pissing away
so
there.
So there's
look
Nate
at him.
Diaz.
Head down.
He says,
head
taking
down.
Taking a piss on the UFC PI. I could do this. Because I get paid more than all you guys, and they won't cut me. So there he is, apparently peeing outside the UFC Performance Institute. If we zoom in, we can see Mr. Diaz's penis right here.
Yeah, but you know what? You know what I don't like? Listen, if you're going to play that game, look, I'm going to tell you something between me and Nate. If I'm going to take like a shot and put it on Twitter and say I'm pissing on the UFC, you know what? I'll beat this guy. I would have went right up to that window over there and I would have pissed on the window. Now that is a statement. Pissing behind the garbage can is not a statement. He's mad. Come on, Nate. AJ would have went like hardcore.
AJ would have like, pissed in the window.
Right on that window there, man.
This you is know? What Dustin Poirier would have shit there.
What is it, Amber Heard Part 2?
Dustin Poirier would have shit there. A real man would have shit there. That's pretty good. Oh, man.
So or late, man. It was the UFC fight. And right now, like, they're jerking him off, man. He, like, I think a while back they were talking about Khamzat, and he didn't want the Khamzat fight. And the UFC looks like they're still putting the Khamzat fight in front of him because they want their boy to wreck Nate before he goes, you know. But I don't know, man. If you're Nate, man, the thing with that fight is Khamzat's a big 170, and Nate, he's a normal size 170. So I don't think it's a good matchup for Nate. But hey, maybe just take it and move on with the UFC if that's what you want.
Fuck taking that
he's
fight.
He's gonna get knocked.
Why would you take that fight? That is a terrible matchup for Nate. Why the hell would the UFC want to put that together? And why would any MMA fan in their right mind want to see that as either man's next fight? If that fight happens, UFC fans everywhere should riot. Are you kidding me? Like, Nate Diaz has no business fighting Khamzat Chimaev. Nate Diaz should be fighting, like, Conor McGregor or somebody who's kind of, you know, on the sidelines of the MMA top 10, top 5. Like, Nate is not in the mix anymore for the championship. Khamzat just beat Gilbert Burns, one of the top contenders for the belt. They're talking about him fighting Colby Covington or Kamaru Usman next. Why the hell would he fight Nate Diaz? It's ridiculous. That's the worst fight for Nate and the worst fight for Khamzat. I could think of at least 2-3 more fights for Khamzat that I would rather see than him fight Nate Diaz. And same for Nate. I really hope they don't do that. I know that there's been talk about it, but it's just like, why? It's stupid.
Listen, on another note, man, I don't know if they were listening to Freddie or whatnot, but Paul Craig just came out on my feed, and it says that he's fighting July 23rd versus Volkan Ozdemir in UFC London. So this just came out. Paul Craig is fighting. So maybe Freddie had something there mentioning his name. He's right there. He got the fight.
Okay.
What about Nate?
Nate's going to be pissing for a little while, man.
Okay. Good analysis, AJ. What about Nate Diaz? What about Nate Diaz? What do you think he should do? Should he fight Khamzat? Nate is going to do a PP and he'll keep doing a PP for a while.
He's going to be doing a TikTok with his dick talk. That's what he's going to be doing, man.
His dick talk. Is that what we're calling it now? All right. Cool.
TikTok. But you know what?
Yeah. What?
Let me see here.
What? You can't say you know what and then say let me see here. You know what? Let me come up with something to say. I don't know. I got nothing really.
No, this is what I wanted to get at. Is that what? Like the reason why he's all mad, Nate, and he's pissing on the performance center and all that is because of the fact of all the information that came out with Endeavor. The CFO from Endeavor says the UFC fighter pays you can't compare it to the NFL or the NBA, where they just came out and they just made like their 2022 revenues are like through the roof. Like they're up $13.2 million from 2021. So here they're coming up with record like profits, you know, with over $296.7 million in revenue for the quarter. I mean, like there's so much money that's coming into the UFC. And he's right, Nate. That's why he's pissing. He's like, you know what? It's time to start paying us. But the CFO of Endeavor is saying, like, man, you can't compare it to the NFL or the NBA or whatnot. Yeah, you're right. I understand as team sports, but damn, they got to start being paid a little bit more. Tony Ferguson came out just before his fight, before he got kicked, the kick of all kicks. I mean, that's a highlight reel that goes with Ben Askren. He was saying, like, you know what? I want the UFC to start paying more money, like, or at least have some kind of an insurance plan. He was talking all this kind of stuff before he got knocked out. That's the thing. Fighters, you know, are getting pissed, man. When you start seeing numbers come up like this, What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, so well, Nate the has official
quote, what is
gonna happen? On the official the official quote from the Endeavor CFO Jason Lublin. Endeavor is the company that owns the UFC. This is on an earnings call to investors. He says, "We agree there's been a lot of comparisons drawn to team sports such as the NFL and NBA, and we actually don't think that this is the right comparison to the UFC. We think the right comparison is to other individual sports such as the PGA Tour, F1, NASCAR, and ATP. I think that's tennis. If you look at those athletes and what they're paid as a relative percentage of revenue for those leagues, it's right in line where the UFC is with their athlete compensation." So apparently these guys are saying, no, 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 don't look at NBA and NFL. They're saying, look at what the tennis players are getting compared to what tennis makes, and it's pretty much the same. But I don't even think that's true. I think that some of these top tennis players compared to what the tennis tour is earning.
Well,
I don't know.
Well, a big difference is that these tennis players, they're not – some of them are sponsored by Nike. Some of them are sponsored by whatever. So, like, they're not – hands tied to Venom or whatever who's sponsoring right now.
Venom.
So that's a big difference. Like, yeah, probably the amount that the ATP is paying their tennis players is probably a similar percentage than the UFC. But whether it's Nadal and Federer and all those guys, man, the real money comes from the sponsors, which is something that the UFC controls in MMA. You know, you got to wear that Venom thing right now. So that's where the big opportunity is not there.
And
even in basketball, like these guys are making 20, 30 millions from their shoe contract a year, which is something like it's not possible in the UFC because you can't really showcase your sponsors.
Like a guy like Nadal who would have like a Nike deal, right? Like Nike would be paying him a ton of money to wear their gear on the court when he's doing the thing that everybody's watching him do. But the UFC athletes don't have that option. So it's really not the same at all. And the PGA is the same thing, right? They have all sorts of sponsors for what they can use when they are competing, right? The UFC athletes don't get to have their own sponsors to support them for their competition performance, right? So they can have sponsors outside of the cage for their training and their media, maybe whatever. But when they're doing UFC stuff, which is the main thing that everybody sees them do, they have to wear the UFC's Venom deal, which, you know, they get a small bit of whatever change the UFC wants to give them. It's really not the same.
I think it was around $20,000 or something like that for the top fighters. Like
it
goes from $5,000 to about $25,000. But what you're right about that, because if you're looking at the early days of like the UFC, I mean, all the fighters were wearing brands, and they were making decent money. Even a non-top 10 fighter was still making decent money. I remember Pat Cote, he was making money from, say, like the Holiday Inn and this and that. Like, or he had like kind of like sort of like collaborations with them. Like, you know, there was always something that they were getting that made it like worth it to get into an octagon. It's
remember
tough now, man.
Because
you look at Bellator.
Banners? Everybody had a banner.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Yeah,
banners. You know, but you're right about one thing. It's the numbers. When you're coming into the UFC and it's just Venom that's getting those numbers. But outside, when they're training or they're going around, there's no one to see that except maybe a local scene or whatnot. But you're not going to get Ford sponsoring them, and you're not going to get like these big names, which they did at one point prior to Reebok that started this whole trend. And to Venom. Actually, Venom pays a lot more than Reebok did. Reebok was like absolutely nothing. It was like $2,000. Sure. Big rat's ass, $2,000. Does even cost you like for like training time with some of the coaches. But yeah, it's just too bad. So you're right. I agree with that. You can't compare the ATP, you know, or Formula One. Are you kidding me? Formula One sponsorship is like, you go take a look at what like some of the big Hamilton and them make like per race. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's a comparison.
I don't understand how they see it like that. I think, you know, they're basically getting just destroyed online for that comment because it makes absolutely no sense. So, great. Hopefully the UFC fighters get paid more at some point, but until then, I will be counseling my children, if they want to pursue athletics, to play baseball, because that's where the money is. Don't
it is, man.
Fight. I mean, it's really pointless to do. I mean, it sucks. I mean, it's a great sport, and it's, you know, awesome. But, you know, the money and the, you know, it's so hard to make it. And then if you make it, you know, what do you really make at the top? Some of them are making good money, but not everybody's making good money, even at the top. And the damage you take and the stress on your body, it's hard, man. That's why I got so much respect for these people that do it, because it's a very hard sport to do. And just the way the UFC's business model works, the athletes are just not compensated anywhere close to what they deserve. I think it should be like at least a 40 to 45% cut for the athletes. And I think it's like maybe what, 11, 12% at this point. It's not
good. I'm not sure. My impression is that there's too many people making a lot of money that aren't fighters. Like, you talk to me about these Endeavor people, Dana White's making a shitload of money, Joe Rogan, everybody's getting paid a lot of money, but not the fighters, it seems. So anyways,
nope.
It could be better.
I think you're right. I wonder what, like, Ariane Celeste is getting paid compared to the average UFC fighter. Just the ring card ladies. You know, what are they making? Because they've been around for a while. What's their rate?
They're making all kinds of stuff outside of the ring, too, like Sports Illustrated, different, like, magazines, man. You name it, man. Even Playboy, for that matter.
I'm just saying, a person like that, like, I wonder. Like, sometimes I see them kind of walking around the cage, and I'm like, are they making more than the fighters? What's happening here?
Probably.
Like, how?
Rogan probably makes more than like, how many fighters make more money in the UFC than Rogan makes from the UFC?
Yeah.
Like, whatever Rogan gets paid from the UFC, like, there's not a lot of fighters that beat that, probably. Now, Rogan's working. Well, he ain't working that many weekends no more, but.
No.
Anyways.
He doesn't need the money from the UFC either. He probably gives him a good deal because
Bruce Buffer probably makes more money a year than Donald Cerrone, Joe Lozon, and a bunch of others.
It's true. Good point, man. He has to afford those suits that he wears, man.
Bruce Buffer's pretty cool, though. He adds a lot to the atmosphere. He's good at it.
He does, he's man. Good. He's like an icon of the UFC.
I'm not trying to say
it. Yeah, Ari Emanuel. How much is he getting?
Well, yeah, Ari Emanuel, you know, is probably making a ton at the top of the UFC. And I think it's less, you know, how much Joe Rogan is getting paid, and more like how much of the profits of the UFC are actually getting put back into the fighters' pockets. And it seems like the UFC is making tons of profit and the fighters are still getting compensated in the same type of way. I don't know when they plan on increasing the fighter pay overall, but it doesn't seem like
they got to do it soon, man.
It doesn't seem like they do plan on it. I think the only way to do it is really have these other promotions start paying more, and then the UFC will be forced to do it.
Well, they are. Look at the PFL with the $1 million payoff. I mean, it is a round robin kind of thing, but the money is there, and Nate is going to make
money wherever he goes. So he should just figure a way to get out of that contract, because people still want to see Nate fight. Like, he's a popular guy. So just do your last fight and go sign for Bellator, go sign for whatever, whoever, and then go make some money, because outside he'll make some good money outside of the UFC. Now, not everybody has the popularity of a Nate Diaz. So.
Well, that's it. And the guys that don't, it's tougher, right? It's tougher. So, tough business, yeah. Tough sport, and that's why we like it so much, because these people that do it are real serious people, and they have great fights, and they entertain us, and we appreciate it. And we are going to be watching on Saturday night, UFC Vegas 54, Blachowicz versus Rakic. And I'll be back here tomorrow night with Johnny North, 10 p.m. Eastern time, right after SmackDown. Talk a little pro wrestling, everything that's going on there.
Whatever's and Dave, going on let me there. Give let me give my our condolences.
Yes. To, of
before
course,
we end the show,
Montreal go lost ahead, a great martial artist this week, a legend, a character, and a great coach from the TriStar Gym. the great Master Peter. I know, AJ, you got to know him a little bit more than I did, but of course everybody around martial arts in Montreal is aware of Master Peter from the TriStar Gym, right? Everybody sees the guy. Everybody knows him. Lovely guy. Very nice guy. And, yeah, he passed away this week, so our condolences from the Ringside Report team to the family of Peter and all his friends.
Yeah, Dave, well said, man. He's a true gentleman, a true warrior, and a legend, man. Once you see his face, you'll remember him. Like, he was many times, like, all over the place, if not, like, at TriStar in different videos that, like, you know, that he was working with. He has, like, so many things that he was involved with, and it's a shame that he passed away. He passed away, like, I don't know what Peter's age was, but he was young in a sense, but he's worked with every fighter from George St. Pierre to, you name it, man, Johnny Walker, you name it. There's so many guys that came through that gym and trained with Peter, and it's too bad because he is a legend, super nice guy. You know, such, like, it's just a shame because he had a lot more to offer, and unfortunately he had a bad disease that shortened his life quite quickly. And, you know, and I'm sure the TriStar team and friends and family are going to miss this guy because he was a character there. There's no doubt about it. But a legend, you know, a true martial artist.
Yeah, definitely. He was with all the greats there that came out of that gym, and just very influential on that team. So our thoughts and condolences with the family of the great Master Peter, a pioneer in Montreal martial arts, no doubt. And that will wrap it up for us here on the Ringside Report Network. I could leave you with some good news, AJ. The Yankees are now up on the White Sox, 5-3. Giancarlo Stanton.
Nice.
Giancarlo
Depends
Stanton.
What inning.
They're up in the third or fourth, I believe. Yeah, third inning.
Still early, man.
In Chicago, top of the third. It's 3-3. Giancarlo Stanton, a two-run shot to right field, puts the Yankees up 5-3. Yankees are on a tear. And I could just give you a little stat here, boys. The best 30-game starts to a season in Yankees history. 1928, they went 24-6. They won the World Series. 1939, they went 24-6. They won the World Series. 58, same deal. 98, 23-7, won the World Series. 2003, they went 23-7 in the first 30 games and lost in the World Series. In 1923, they went 22-8 and won the World Series. Basically, through 30 games, the Yankees are now 22-8, one of the best starts in the first 30 games of the franchise history. And when they have a great start in the first 30 games, most of the time, except for one time, they won the World Series. So I think the Yankees are going to win the World Series. Is what I'm trying
to tell
you.
Put some money on Bet99, man.
They're having
Bet99.com.
Great start. They're beating the Blue Jays left and right. They just swept them in a two-game set. Aaron Judge with a walk-off home run to win one of those games. It was miraculous. It was beautiful. And the Yankees now up 5-3 on the White Sox with a shot to right from Big G, Giancarlo Stanton. Let's go, Yankees.
Look at that smile on Freddie with the Houston ad.
Whatever,
look at that Freddie smile.
Houston sucks Freddie, this year, Fred. It's over. It's over for Houston. Their cheating has been figured out. It's Yankees time all day, every day. Let's go.
Yankees. You're stealing the World Series, man. You're sliding home
best time.
Best and being called
baseball.
Out.
Best record in all of baseball, the New York Yankees. They're the best. They're killing it. Let's go, Yankees. And that's it. I'll be back here tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern time with Johnny North. To talk some professional wrestling. And that's it. Thank you to Patrick C. Hamilton. You are the Super Chat leader of the night. Going to put some money on Chukagian. Let's do it. Big Team Dave Parlay. And Team Fred Parlay. Team Dave and Team Fred Parlay, for the record, are identical. The other guy that I threw on there, that's for a single bet. But if you want to throw it in the parlay, I mean, it could be spicy. It could be a lot of money. Right? Thank you to Angelo Contagonis dropping a super chat as well. Thank you, Patrick. You're the leader, and you're also a member for 18 months. So thank you very much, Patrick, for the super chat. Appreciate it. And Angelo, I know you're missing the Wednesday night shows. You used to call in Wednesday night for Dynamite. I think those will be resuming very soon. So get ready, Angelo. Looking forward to hearing you again on Wednesday night.
Call into our show, man.
Angelo dropping a super chat.
We're not chopped liver.
Angelo says, great show, guys. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Angelo. And, yeah, maybe on a Wednesday night we'll come back to the Dynamite shows, some Raw shows as well. Things are coming back to normal on the Ringside Report Network. Thank you, Angelo. With that super chat, you are the new super chat leader by a penny over Patrick. Angelo with the 578 super chat, very specific.
Super chat, just to get that penny over Patrick
to be the super chat leader. So thank you, Angelo. Appreciate it. Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate you guys supporting the Ringside Report Network and everybody watching here tonight here on the Ringside Report Network.
Please join in and give your support to Ringside Report Network. We've been providing expert coverage and commentary on both pro wrestling and MMA for over